Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer, and I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman of Vocalo.org, 89.5 FM.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. A study on corrosion costs released by the National Association of Corrosion Engineers in 2002 estimated the annual direct cost of corrosion in the U.S. at that time as a staggering $276 billion, about 3.1% of the nation's gross domestic product.
Corrosion of steel bridges and of reinforcing steel in concrete bridges is a major cause of bridge deterioration. And the ASCE's 2009 Infrastructure Report Card pointed out that the condition of our nation's bridges is a very expensive problem to fix. The search for a wonder material that bears heavy loads yet won't corrode has been a dream of infrastructure engineers for many years, and now, perhaps, such a material's time has come. Recycled structural plastic composite, or RSPC, has been tested since the 1990s, beginning with railroad ties.
More recently, RSPC is being used in bridges of increasing size. This material is made of recycled plastics such as milk containers and car bumpers, which might otherwise end up in landfills. Here with us today is Vijay Chandra of Parsons Brinckerhoff, the principal in charge of the design of two RSPC rail bridges in Fort Eustis, Virginia, one of which was completed in May of this year. These are the largest bridges built to date of RSPC to support the heaviest loads, 120-ton locomotives used by the U.S. Army. Vijay, thanks very much for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about these bridges, their size, their design, and how they're used by the Army?
We got two bridges at Fort Eustis, which we designed, and they have both been built and are in service at this point.
And my understanding is the client was the U.S. Army. Why do you suppose it was the Army that was the first to go for these material and bridges at this scale?
You know, Army has been on the leading edge of using green technology, green and sustainable technology. And so it's no wonder that they are the first ones to use it. And they are very much interested in this material. There are two more bridges, each about 500 foot long. They want us to use this material on those bridges, and they are talking to us on some other applications at this point. So they are at the forefront of technology, and we are glad that they are.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the design? Give us a kind of description of what they look like and how long they are and what's the vertical height above the ground?
Sure. They are low-level trestle type of structures. They're crossing little streams. They're not more than about 15, 20 feet above the ground level. The first bridge is about 38 feet, 6 inches long total, and it's a four-span continuous structure with 8 feet, 9.5 feet, 9.5 feet, and 8 feet spans. The second bridge is a bit longer. It's about 84 feet, 1 inches long, and it has two three-span continuous structures, which are the end spans of 9 feet and 10 feet with center span of 11 foot 5 inches. And then there is a 1-2 span continuous structure, which is 10 feet by 10 feet and 10 feet. The piers for these bridges, there are six piles per pier, and two are battered in the longitudinal direction and two are battered in the transverse direction on a 1-6 batter. The entire bridge, except the two abutments which the Army wanted us to maintain, the existing timber abutments, everything else, which is piles, pile caps, girders, curbs, ties, shear blocks, are all RSPC material. Sometimes we call them thermoplastic. It's one and the same. They have been designed for Cooper E60 loading, which is 260,000 pounds with a 20% impact. They've been tested up to 240,000 pounds, that is 120 tons with impact, because that's the largest locomotive the Army has at the base. that was the reason for the 120-ton locomotive.
So the Army's using these to move freight trains in, and that, as I understand the way you're describing it, the heaviest load they're carrying would be the load of the locomotive itself.
Yeah, they do it for different reasons why they need it, because they got a big infrastructure at the base. And one is for training railroad engineers for the Army in case of emergency, or if they are needed in some other country to run railroads. So that's the reason for that, why they are using. And they also move equipment from one part of the base to the other part.
Now, is there any particular challenges using this material to getting it into the shapes and the sizes and lengths that you need to get it in to put the bridge together?
Not really. Right now, we can do I sections. We can do T sections. We can do piling sections, like circular piles. We can do transverse shear blocks. We can do ties. Can do a lot of shapes right now.
And because it's plastic, my mind immediately goes to pouring it into a mold. Is that how it's done?
No, right now there is what is called as a protrusion technology, where the liquid is moved in, and then there is like a spiral which comes out, and it fills the space. This technology has got some limitations, so we are looking at some new technology where it is like a molding, and you just pour the material into the mold, and then the upper part comes in and presses down. So that's a new technology which is on the horizon.
But as I understand it, it's a thermoplastic, so that when you it's in this in liquid form, when it's in pourable form, it's hot. Is that correct?
It is hot.
And how does it compare in strength when it's formed and when it's solid to conventional steel or reinforced concrete?
Well, it's a different material. It's hard to compare between one and the other. All I can tell you is that it is 1/3 the weight of concrete, 1/10 the weight of steel. It's slightly heavier than wood. For its weight, it's equal to steel or concrete. Because weight, of course, modulus of elasticity is lower, and there is a bit more creep. That creep has been overcome to a large extent by using glass fibers coated with polypropylene in the mix. And that's a small percentage, about 8%. Otherwise, it's all high-density polyethylene.
So can you quote a yield stress on it? What point does it start to stretch under tensile load?
It's high. It's about 4,000 KSI at yield. However, we are designing this at about 600 PSI because we are still understanding the material, its behavior, and we want to start with low levels. Of course, we can go higher, but we need to understand more about its creep properties at higher strength.
What are some of the advantages of using it as a construction material rather than some of the conventional bridge materials?
First of all, it is light, which reduces the cost of transportation and erection. And we can shape it as we advance in the manufacturing technology. We can shape it, and it doesn't rust. It doesn't pulverize. There's no alkali-silica reaction. There is no creosote, in other words, any hazardous substance. So it's a long-lasting material. And it's all, plastics are very long-lasting because even in landfills, they can stay there for 10,000 years with very little degradation.
Any disadvantages to their use in these projects rather than conventional materials?
Sure. Right now, we can only do small spans, like 10 feet, 12 feet, for railroad loadings, but for highway loadings that can stretch to 20 feet very easily. That's because of the manufacturing process which is being used. But once we improve the manufacturing process, we think we can go easily to 35, 40 feet, and then by using other techniques, we may be able to stretch it to about 50, 60 feet.
Any difference in the way they're designed than because you're using this material than the design would be using conventional materials?
It is very much designed the way we have been doing, but we are working stress design at this point in time. We don't want to go to the yield and or load factor design or LRFD design at this point, just because we are trying to understand this material more and more.
So, as I understand the way you're describing it, it's you're using a very conservative approach to design.
Oh yes.
So does that mean that the components are larger in cross section than you would see not only in steel, but you might see ultimately in RSPC once you get to understand the material better?
That's right.
So if we looked at this bridge and crawled around under it, which some of us like to do, would we know that this material is different than a conventional material on site?
Yes, you will. Right now it is mostly black in color or graphite color.
Mm-hmm.
But as we move into new ways of production, I think we can change the color. Then you would not even know.
Is it possible to paint even now?
We cannot paint right now, but we can fireproof it.
Oh, how would you do that? Because as a thermoplastic, I would think at even moderate temperatures, you might have a risk of going into plastic behavior.
No, it doesn't, because this is a special mix. You know, it has been developed over a period of time. It is stable from minus 125 degrees centigrade to plus 125 degrees centigrade.
Okay, so environmentally, you're very safe, but so how would you add fire protection?
There is a special spray application which has been developed by Rutgers University, who are the developer of this polymer composite. And that can take us to about 2,700 degrees without affecting the structure.
So that gives you some good fire protection. So how do you see the technology advancing? And you talked about understanding it better and using it, more aggressively so you can get longer spans. Are there other advancements that you see coming down the line?
I think we will be looking at probably within the next year, we'll be looking at how we can integrate this with fiber post-tensioning concepts to increase span lengths. Then we will also be looking at other shapes and I shapes or T shapes. We may be going into double T's or some other type of shapes which will be much more efficient with this material.
So the shape that you're working with now sounds like it's a rectangular cross section.
No, we are using T's.
T's.
And then one T is normal, another T is inverted, and we are bolting them into making them into
so a cruciform
18-inch shape. But in 12 inches, we can mold it into in one piece. We are also looking at with type of manufacturing. We are looking at making a I-shape with stiffeners, everything in place. In other words, we don't have to add it later on and glue it or in case of steel, we weld it. We'll be able to manufacture the whole thing in one piece.
And you mentioned now you're building relatively short bridges, working towards building longer spans. Do you envision this material being used in other forms of infrastructure as well?
Oh, definitely, especially where there is marine conditions. It can be very easily used because nothing sticks to it. And fender systems, dolphins, jetties, piers, you name it, we can use it in all of those types of situations. We also can use them in, of course, railroad ties, definitely. And there are some transit agencies who are already using that, and then some railroads are also using it, and it is especially useful in what we call as switch sets, where you need very long railroad ties, such as when two tracks come together or two tracks intersect and things like that, there the ties tend to be very long, like 12 to 14, 15 feet. It's very difficult to get such a long tie in wood in a straight length and also free from defects. And the wood, of course, need to be creosoted for exterior application. In concrete ties, it's a different matter. Such long ties tend to be very heavy, and you've got to pre-drill all the holes for connecting the rails and all the plates. Whereas with this material, you can get as much length as you want in a straight piece, and you can go there and put it in place and then bolt everything.
You mentioned that it was particularly attractive in marine applications, in part because nothing sticks to it. With conventional stuff in marine applications, what sticks to it and what's the damage that's done by that?
You know, in especially in tidal areas with concrete, slowly the concrete deteriorates over there, and we have seen plenty of instances of that. And in wood also, wood deteriorates in that splash zone or tidal zone.
But nothing eats RSPC, I would assume.
Nothing eats RSPC.
You mentioned early on that the Army was particularly interested in green projects and that that's why they've been one of the early adopters of this. Is there any sense of why the Army in particular is so interested in green stuff?
I think the government has something to do with it, and there has been a more and more emphasis on green technology or reusable technologies, and this has been going on for about 20 years, and that's why the research was carried out, and the products are coming online now, and they see the benefit on a long-term basis, because if you look at the presently, we are very competitive with other materials in the span ranges which this material can be used. The life cycle cost of this material is lot less than any other material, or any other conventional material like wood, steel, or concrete. So if you look at it on a long-range basis, the Army has to spend less on maintaining these bridges.
And having said that, now for the general market, what do you think is the future for these kind of green materials in the overall economy?
I think they are very bright, in my opinion, because there are a lot of people looking at how to reuse material, how not to damage our environment, and so I personally think it is very appropriate timing. And it's going to pick up more steam.
Where do you get the stuff from that you make in this plastic materials out of?
Landfills, recycling, plastic.
Are you guys actually digging in landfills or just getting stuff that otherwise would have been sent to a landfill?
No, we are getting through recycling. There are recycling locations where we can get all these bottles and other things. And in many communities across the country, recycling is taking hold. So that's one location where we can get the material. The landfills are, again, another source of this material.
Vijay, we really appreciate your spending the time with us to give us some insights into what sounds like a not only an advanced material, but a material that's important for assuring the sustainability of our infrastructure. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.